The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, our great friends at both dealerships. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, General Manager Brian Danahy tells us the 2019s have arrived, so the 2018s got to go. It's your last call to save at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa with the season's best deals. Lease 2018 Escalades, just $859 a month. Hurry to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, but they're always there at edmorsecadillactampa.com. So many offers at the website, and as well as you see at joebucksfan.com and at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, just east of 75 on Causeway Boulevard. The 2019 XT4 is now in stock and ready for immediate delivery. 39.5-inch, best-in-class rear leg room. So many options. You got to check it out at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And, of course, the season's best sales event continues there. I'm looking at their website now. A new 2019 Cadillac CTS lease, $419 per month. See the dealer for all the details. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, proud presenters of all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com, and such tremendous supporters of our Tampa Bay community in all of their charitable endeavors. Get to edmorsecadillactampa.com, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Tuesday. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on Thanksgiving week, which means it's draft week at One Buck Place. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here, but the grand star of the show, the big man, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter, Mr. Ira Kaufman. How are you, Ira?
I'm doing well. We got a lot to give thanks for, Lee. We got our help. It's a beautiful world, and most importantly, there's only 6 weeks left in the Bucs season. Much to be thankful for.
When you said there's much to be thankful for, I could just imagine quite a few Bucs fans, Port Richie Lou among them, just ran off into a culvert.
Steve, we seem to go through this every year around this time. We hear from a lot of Buc fans saying, I'm done. I'm done with this franchise. I'm not renewing my tickets. You wonder if the message ever gets through to the people that that matter.
Well, here's
that
a scary word for you.
Are they reading this stuff?
Here's a scary word for you and the people at One Buck.
There's nothing worse than apathy, Lee.
That's the word I was going to use. There's a guy, Steve and I know, Matt Sin, up in Milwaukee, listens every Bucks podcast. I mean, he's from St. Pete, the assistant news director at an ABC affiliate in Milwaukee. And even though he's, you know, half the world away up in Milwaukee, we're still running around in shorts, he's got frostbite problems.
But he's a diehard.
Diehard. I mean, can't get enough, can't consume enough Bucks information. And he texted me Sunday. He goes, I'm over this team. Because I don't care. I don't care who's the quarterback. I don't care what they do. I don't care if they win out. I don't care if they lose out. I'm just apathy. He used it. Apathy. He goes, I just don't care anymore.
And part of the problem, Steve, they got off to a 2-0 start. Nobody anticipated it. When you do that, you raise expectations.
False hope.
Boom. 7 out of 8 losses. Bad.
You know, you asked about the big boys upstairs and how they get the message or not. They get the message that most fans who say that every year, they're right back the next year. So it's just the way it is with fans in any sport. You get all...
And they'll get excited about the draft.
You get excited. You have to mourn the season. With the Bucks, we mourn more than most teams. And the apathy sets in and then a little move happens and... Especially with a new coach. Whoa. All right. Who we got in here? What's he going to say? What's he going to do? My favorite line in this realm, since this is what we deal with as Bucks fans. I got to tell you, Ira, Lee and I, we were new in JoeBucksFan.com, you know, about 6 months old, and the Bucks fire John Gruden. And Joel Glazer says, well, you know, we talked to the fans and we took the pulse of the fans and they were looking for change and we want to start over, fresh start.
And of
blah,
course,
blah,
they
blah.
Lost their last 4 games that year. Yeah.
So, you know, new start, new era, and Raheem Morris steps to the podium in his first news conference. And you know what he says about 6 or 8 times?
It's a race to 10. No. That came later.
He says, we're going to stay the course. Stay the course? Why didn't we keep the guy
you
who
just went 0 for December?
Why didn't we keep the guy who won the Super Bowls if we're going to stay the course?
That's classic.
I mean, what are you, John Gruden 2.0?
That's absolutely
so. That was a classic. But yeah, this is where we are, Ira. And as far as Thanksgiving, of course, we have to give thanks. And that means Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. That's where you got to go. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com.
All roads lead to Ed Morse for you, Steve. It's amazing. All roads.
Hey, those are Hillsborough County's only two Cadillac dealerships and fantastic pre-owned selection. We've heard all the ads here on the podcast, and I appreciate you listening to them to open up. And
all roads should lead to Ed Morse.
And all the good folks
who... Every time I see a Cadillac on the road next to my car, I get a little jealous over there, Lee. And the thought keeps coming to me, why don't I have one of those?
Well, I'm sure you can call people at Ed Morris and they can hook you up.
And as we're speaking, here comes a police car up the road over there, Steve. they must have heard us talking about Vita Vea or something. Yeah, that's later.
Whatever you were smoking behind your car.
Thievery,
over there.
Is that it?
Here we go. What's on your mind, Steven? Now, you just got back from beautiful East Rutherford.
Oh, it's a beautiful place.
You visited with some family. How's your family, Steven?
The family's the family, you know. My mom's hanging in there, and my sister's as annoying as ever, and the nephews are hardcore sports fans. They're always fun to be around.
When you walked in the door, is anybody wearing a Levante David jersey? Anybody wearing it?
You know what? I saw two things at the Meadowlands. First, I got there nice and early. Drove in from the city, Ira. I know I was there in the morning. I know how you love the thought of me driving among the cabbies. And
right through the Lincoln Tunnel, my friend?
Right through the tunnel. Very easy. No traffic. Got lucky. So I got there very early. And, you know, it's just a blue wave of tailgating. But there's a new wrinkle that I saw. There's all these yellow shuttle buses flying around. you can leave your tailgate, sort of get to the edge of the row, and you jump on the bus, and they'll take you right to the sports book, which is 300 yards away. You place your bet, and you come back.
Wow. There's no question that you visited that sports book. I don't have a doubt in my mind.
We're going to get to that later, and I have a surprise for both of you on that, so I'm glad you mentioned that. But very few Bucks jerseys. I saw maybe two.
Two?
Two, yeah, and I walked around quite a bit. Literally, no Buccaneers presence.
How was the crowd at the stadium?
Big crowd. You know, the very few empty seats. You know, typical Giants game, I'm sure. And, you know, they were fired up, of course, because, hey, there's a lot of love there for Eli Manning. You could even feel it in the press box, you know, the press corps, Giants press corps. They like Manning. How could they not?
Lee, there's a lot of chatter going on, even nationally, that the Giants are alive. They're fresh and alive off two wins. They're 3-7. People are going crazy. They might make the playoffs.
Well, that's all about Alex Smith's broken leg. Right? That's new life for Giants fans.
Now the Cowboys are playing better. I mean, you know.
The Cowboys are a good football team, but not great. There's nobody.
Division's still up for grabs in NFC North.
Yeah, Colt McCoy. We'll see if he can get to the playoffs. But very little Bucks presence. And, yeah, the Giants feel they're alive. And a lot of love for JPP. A lot of fans cheering for him. A lot of love in that stadium after the game. He was high-fiving. A lot of fans waiting just for him.
Wow. And as we predicted, he played well. He played well.
And, you know, JPP comes into the locker room. And, you know, like I said, I think we talked about it before. It wasn't the most somber locker room after considering the Bucks were literally eliminated from the playoffs, if you want to look at it realistically.
Yes.
Not the most somber Bucks locker room, which is a little disturbing, but it wasn't a party. But, yeah, we've all seen what the morgue is, and this was no morgue. Well, JPP's sitting there, and this strikingly beautiful woman walks into the locker room.
How do you notice these things?
How could you not, right?
Strikingly beautiful woman walks into the locker room. You know, okay, and she's looking around, and, you know, it's a tighter locker room quarters, of course, for the visitors. And, you know,
she's got a microphone. She's got a tape recorder. What she got?
She seemed to
this
have.
This is a family podcast.
What she got is.
She seemed to have nothing with her. She's just walking and looking around. I'm like, all right, I guess she's coming in to look at these half naked men or fully naked men or whatever. Right. She walks up to somebody standing next to me. She says, where's JPP? And he's sitting, whatever. And she goes over, sits down next.
Now you're following her.
She sits down next to him and she's like, JPP, I missed you. And he looks over and he's big smile. He's like, how are you? How are you?
Not Kimberly Jones.
And I have no idea who it was. It was some sort of local New York news. She had a microphone in her back pocket.
So she was there to say hello.
And they did a little interview. The camera guy came later. But just the way she entered and with no media looking credentials or equipment looking around. You know, just it was interesting.
And then when she was done, you walked up to JPP, and he looked crestfallen that he's got to deal with you.
No. JPP was
Philly did she work
he was
for?
Done. I don't know. Oh. I don't know. Don't know. Sage, look, the Buccaneers. Let's start with the defense before we get into.
Hold on. May I interject on my own podcast?
You stuck on this reporter?
Of course.
Were there any national media there? National which we haven't seen very much at Buck games this year. See any national people? I know Peter King wasn't there, but was anybody around?
No familiar faces. I know there were some national guys there from The Athletic.
Did you work over Bob Glauber to tell him to vote for John Lynch? Did you do a little work for
him? No, you didn't tell me to. You didn't advise me.
He's got a new book out, by the way. I got a copy. I'm going to read it.
What about Neil Best? Does he get a pass?
Neil Best gets a pass. He's writing about the doggy.
In case you're wondering, that was not one of the big riveting games on the national schedule yesterday.
Well, I figure some people in New York, they don't want to travel, so they'll go to Jersey and go to the game. Mm. What's on your mind, Stephen? What's on your mind?
Well, the defense, Ira, look. I think we should start there before we get to Jameis and some other important things of the day. Guys, you watched the game on television. Eli Manning, the best completion percentage of his career, which is a hell of a long career, 250 games or so, and there is no pass defense. And the Bucs now are playing a JV squad of linebackers. Nobody can breathe on anybody. Dirk Koetter had the audacity yesterday to say the pass rush is fine. Well, what do you make of all this?
You judge a team amongst its peers. The numbers are skewed. Nobody's going to argue that. I think scoring, when you combine the two teams per game, I think it's up 5 points a game. That is a mammoth leap. Mammoth. Usually it's like it goes up a half a point a year. So the NFL got what it wanted. Crazy games like Chiefs-Rams, Chiefs-Patriots, 43-40, mm-hmm. 105 points Monday night. It's what they want, and they got it. So, yeah, the numbers are skewed. But even when you judge the Bucs, Lee, among the other 31 teams, they're dead last. Yeah. There's no way to cover it up. Now, I wrote a column Monday. You might disagree. When the season ends, people are going to say, Quan Alexander wasn't around. Hargraves, Conte, this, mm-hmm. that. Where's Unrein? I dissected each one of them. Boom, boom, boom. What are you talking about, Chris Conte? He's John. All of a sudden, he's Ronnie Lott. Well, you didn't want the guy. You didn't want the guy out there in September. Now you're going to bemoan his absence? Unrein's a backup.
Yeah.
Quan Alexander wasn't playing well. They were getting killed with him.
Exactly.
You know, so, and Hargraves is yet to prove. He's got one pick as a professional, 26 games. So forget that nonsense. Now, to Steve's point, Lee, the completion percentage, 74% against, that's a joke. That's an absolute joke. 25 touchdown passes, one interception. That's a joke. QB rating of 124. Preposterous. Crazy. No NFL quarterback has ever had a 124 rating, and that's the average rating against the Buck defense this year. They've been playing this game for 100 years. Nobody's ever done it, Lee. So, you know, I'm looking at the talent. Yeah, they're short. They're short on talent. But, Lee, I made the point, and I don't think we can emphasize it enough. The scheme stinks.
Bingo.
And it has been bad ever since this regime has come along.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say
except
this.
Except for five games in 2016.
Yeah, which we all know is
it
a
hasn't
fluke
worked,
now.
Except
yeah.
for five games.
We were taping this on Tuesday, so last night, Monday night, I'm watching that Monday night game. The Chiefs don't have a defense you could brag about.
Don't.
But you know what? Every one of those guys could start for the Bucs. They would be an improvement. That's how bad this Bucs defense is. The first series that the Rams had, I noticed Chief cornerbacks right on the line of scrimmage, contesting the wide receivers.
Now they were getting beat.
They were getting beat, but they were at least trying.
Yeah.
You know, trying to force your opponent to make a mistake. Trying. I mean, it wasn't like, come on, you know, we'll give you a 10-yard cushion. Come on. No, they were at least attempting to do something. The Bucs, just, I mean, up and down, just watching that game just showed how far away the Bucs are. When the Chiefs' defense would be a step better than the Bucs, that's all you need to know.
And, Steve, tell me if I'm, quoting Koetter, paraphrasing. But on Monday, didn't he talk a little bit about when somebody asked him about the takeaways and the startling lack of takeaways? One interception. I believe the record is 3, and that was in a strike-shortened season. They're on pace for 2.
Yeah,
and
a full.
And Steve, didn't he start talking a little bit about you got to be closer to the guy? He was talking about pass defenses, and he says, "How are you going to get a pass defense when you're not close to the receiver?" That's a damning indictment, Steve.
Well, it sort of rolled off when Koetter said the pass rush is fine, the pass rush is okay, which it's not. But and he started dropping sack totals and stuff, and I think we talked here on the podcast how the Bucs. I think going into, I don't know, they're not above average in sack totals anyway. Yeah, he was sort of saying, well, we're just not covering. I mean, it's not rocket science. You're not covering well. And, you know, I just don't understand, Ira, what part of this scheme says don't cover your guy or close on the ball?
And it's passive. It's passive.
Yes.
But Brent Grimes, he led the NFL in passes defensed in this defense in 2016, and he was solid last year. So now we're supposed to assume that he just completely sucks and the rookies can't cover anybody.
No, they can't.
There's some effort issues going on with this team, in my opinion, Ira. And where's Cutter saying, look, you can't play tighter, get out. We're just going to keep rotating guys in.
And Leah, I think lost in the heck of a comeback, you know, sparked by Winston, four straight touchdown drives. I mean, that's very impressive. I don't care how you did it. But lost a little bit in the shuffle, Lee, is they didn't stop the Giants. While they're doing this unbelievable comeback, the Giants are going 70 yards twice in the fourth quarter.
Off the top of
that,
my head,
that one, can't happen if you're serious about winning that game.
Oh, exactly. I mean, to the Giants' credit, they have weapons, no doubt about it. But you know what? The Bucs defense, it really shouldn't surprise anybody. They're terrible. They were terrible before the injuries, so we expect backups on the worst defense in the league. Come on.
Last year, they were last in total yards allowed. Last. This year, they're not last in total yards allowed, but they're last in scoring defense. That's even worse.
Well, here's
this is not a new phenomenon. You've gone from total yards to scoring defense, and the red zone defense is just a joke, an absolute joke. Most teams, you know, are in the 65%. They give up touchdowns in the red. The Bucs are like 90. I mean, it's just any way you slice it. Can you really expect Duffner to come in here and shake things up in terms of installing a new system, Lee? You got to cut Duffner a little bit of slack.
Oh, of course. But, you know, and this isn't any kind of slam at Riley Bowa. I've only dealt with the guy a couple times. He's like a nice guy. He's more a cartoon character than NFL foot. And that's not a critique. He's got a personality, you know, and people like personalities. That's why people always pine for Sapp. Sapp was a personality. Went out there and acted like an animal, and that's what people want.
By the way, Monday night, we might have seen a guy, it's tough for me to say this, he might be better than Sapp.
Aaron Donald.
He might be better.
He's getting up there. Does anybody really believe Riley Bull is a starting linebacker in the NFL? Nice guy. Okay special teams, I assume. Maybe a guy to come in and fill in for a few plays, you know, maybe a series, but starting linebacker, no. But that's what they're dealing with. You know, that's not an excuse. As your column, a very well-written column, you hit the nail on the head. But when you expect backups on the worst defense in the NFL to produce, that's a stretch.
It's bad. The talent level's really looking bad, and I hope somehow it can just improve. Some of these young guys in the back really have to improve.
By the way, while we're on this subject, can we put the false premise to bed that the Bucs ignored the defense? Look at all the draft picks and free agents they signed.
Five new defensive linemen. You can't argue. Now, you can argue about the guys they picked, but you can't say they turned their back on the last place defense in total yardage in 2017.
Yeah, well, two years ago, they spent a first and a second round pick on defense. Was it Noah Spence's second-round pick?
Yeah, second-round pick, sure.
And then, of course, all the draft capital, but the Team Blazer loot they spent this year on defensive line, draft picks, they did not ignore the defense. Like you said, if you want to pick apart the guys they selected, that's a whole different animal, and you'd be absolutely correct in slapping around some people. They picked the wrong
JPP's
people.
JPP's a home run. You know,
JPP's an absolute steal.
Nobody's got a problem with that.
JPP should not even be in the same conversation as the rest. Where would his defense be without him? Holy cow. And Nassib, pretty nice pickup, even though the powers that be at one Buck when he was in the draft mocked him.
But, Steve, Buck fans are already on Vea. They're already on him. And as Cutter said, he's in shape.
Cutter threw him under the bus yesterday.
Can't get off blocks.
That's a big bus.
That's a tough indictment.
Ian Beckles had the perfect word for him, Velcro. Can't get off blocks.
And Spence. Now, kudos to Greg Allman. He tweeted this out the other day. He played very sparingly and only on special teams. Only. So, Steve, by that I'm saying when you combine that with Aguayo, Hargraves, Benenock, Steve, that 2016 draft looks like a total zero.
Well, of course. And we've been down that road. Look, the Bucs drafted four of their first five picks this year. We're on defense, and the best of them is probably the fourth-round pick, Whitehead, who looks like a legitimate player on the rise.
But I hate to judge Stewart and Davis. I hate to judge them.
Why? Stewart looked slow, and you can't teach speed, and now he's hurt.
They're rookies.
Davis is a little bit lost.
He may be an okay.
Caught him a little slackly.
Oh, I'm cutting him a little. He's a rookie, but how many games? We're in 11 games now? And does he look like he's, you know, going to be a guy where you could say, oh, he's going to be starting for the next 7 years? I'm not on a good team.
So if they got the fifth pick in the draft, are you saying, Steve, they got to take a defensive lineman?
It's tougher on Davis because the guy drafted after him is the guy Carolina picked up, Jackson, who's got four picks and is looks like a rookie of the year candidate. So
Here's another defensive. There's some red meat for people. There's a lot of consensus, I guess. Maybe that's the wrong word, that they want Light out of town as much as they want Cutter out of town. A lot of Bucks fans. Well, this organization mocked Nassib when he came out from Penn State. He's just a guy, blah, blah, blah. He's their second-best defensive lineman.
He's not. He hasn't been bad about finding diamonds in the rough. How about finding diamonds in the field when it's not in the rough? That he struggled
in the glass case.
And by the way, it's a new podcast this week, so I got to say it once a week. And I know people are tired of hearing it, but I'm going to say it again. No fault to the Bucks, but I said it on draft night. And I'm going to say it again. And here it is, 6-7 months later, Quentin, I'm going to say it again. That guy's a monster.
Yeah.
Quentin Nelson kills people. And boy, you talk about adding nasty now. Light didn't do anything wrong.
No.
I'm going to trade up to 7. I don't think you could have got him away from the Colts.
They wanted
That's
him.
Who they wanted.
Yeah.
And bravo. And by the way, the Colts are hot. They're playing great. Luck's playing great. They're running the ball. But boy, Nelson at right guard, left guard, I don't care where the hell you play that guy. He's a monster. That was bad luck for the Bucks that night. Bad luck.
Well, you know what?
And you know what? It goes back to the win against the Saints. It does.
And here's
because they probably would have been against the, they would have been ahead of the Colts.
Yeah, they would have.
Draft night,
they
would. They would have took Nelson.
Don't
make any doubts about it.
Here's a line for you. You know, I had a guy, I can't remember, it was either on JoeBucksFan.com or Twitter, going after Steve or I, probably me, blaming Winston for not having Quentin Nelson. You know, that blankety big blank blank Winston.
Winston's trying to win football games. You can't blame Jameis.
And this guy said, if he wouldn't have gone off script, they wouldn't have won the game. Like, hold up. If he went on script, they complete a pass to Humphreys and kick a field goal. So who is he going to blame then?
Quentin Nelson's not on Jameis's Winston mind, nor should it be. Should he be?
Look,
say
what you want. I don't think if you put Quentin Nelson on this roster now and took somebody out, I don't think he'd be a difference maker. I mean, what is he going to do that's
going to
make...
Over Bendenuk?
No. I meant if you had Nelson and had Marpet at center, would we have that much different of a team?
I'm saying bring in Jensen, and your guards are Marpet and Nelson.
Yeah. Well, but they weren't going to do that.
I don't know that.
Oh, we don't know that.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. They already had Jensen going into the draft. Damn right they would have drafted Nelson.
Yeah, you're right. They did have
him. Damn right they would have drafted Nelson.
All right, Aaron.
Don't disagree with the Sage over here.
All right,
now,
Sage.
Now, that doesn't mean...
You got him worked up, Steve. Look out.
That's not going to mean the defense ain't giving up 33 points a game. I mean, Quentin Nelson's good, but he's not Superman.
How many more yards do you want the Bucs to get with
Quentin
Nelson?
Well, they would have run the ball more. It would have changed things. They would have had more time
better red
possession.
Zone.
And, yeah, better
they could
red
still
zone.
Run the ball more.
Yeah. Look, and by the way, the blocking was... the run blocking, it was better. Sunday.
Their offensive line probably had the best game.
I thought
game.
Donovan Smith played a good game.
You know, Peyton Barber's up to 4 yards a carry. If you look at his 15 games when he's gotten the rock this season.
Is he on pace for 1,000 yards, Steve? Did you notice?
No, he's just shy. If you look at the 15 games where he's got significant carries in a row now, he's at like 240 carries for 950-something yards.
And, he played a heck of a game.
You know, he's a good football player.
He's got heart. No effort issues with him.
Right.
And let's get to Mr. Jameis Winston.
You mentioned the magic words. Over
who
there,
is Steven. The? This is the is what makes being a Bucks fan interesting. You know, we started the podcast by saying, you know, fans checking out and apathy. Hey, this is the most interesting train wreck team, and maybe in the history of football. You couldn't write a script like this. You couldn't imagine it. There are so many layers here.
And you loved my line Sunday night when I said, if Dirk Cutter has the audacity.
I love that word.
I use that word. And you loved that line, Steve.
That was me.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't love it, Ira, but go ahead.
Well, I said, if he's got the audacity to stick with Fitzpatrick against the 49ers, it means only one thing. The man wants to get fired.
I thought that was a great line.
And I'm sticking with that. And, of course, he made the right call. But
audacity.
He made it a week late. He made it a week late. I still can't believe he didn't go to Winston against the Giants. Who knows if they win that game? I think they do. Now Winston didn't play a perfect game. Far from it.
No,
he fumbled.
He got results.
And he might have been picked off once or twice, but he made a lot of good decisions too. And by the way, that Fitzpatrick, that last interception, that's the worst decision I've seen. I think it's worse than any decision Winston's made this year. That was a terrible throw. It had no chance. Was that, absolutely zero chance to complete that
Was that
ball.
The one where Fitz said he was giving DeSean Jackson 50-50?
Yeah, and Cutter disagreed with him. And Cutter doesn't do that very often, Steve.
Well, you know, a couple of throws in that game were interesting. Also, Cutter yesterday, he said, basically flat out said, Jameis' throw with 23 seconds left was the wrong throw and a bad play. That he screwed that up. So I thought that was interesting that they closed the game on a Jameis screw-up in the mind of the head coach, and they still went with him, which is a good thing. I mean, Jameis belongs to be
in
there.
Come on, it's a Hail Mary. So you can't yell at a guy for a Hail Mary.
But that's the thing, Ira. With 23 seconds left on the clock, that's not Hail Mary time.
No, zero on the clock is Hail Mary time.
1 second, 8 seconds, not 23. So whatever. It's old news at this point. But Jameis starts when he comes in for Fitzpatrick, gets into the third quarter.
It's 24-7 at that point.
24-7. I was impressed that he was so ready. You know, he clearly was ready to go, but yes, four straight touchdown drives, Ira. But you know how this goes. We want your sage wisdom here. Jameis fumbles in the red zone on his first drive, coughs it up. He's carrying the ball like it's a twirly at the circus, and he gets stripped. Mike Evans falls on a touchdown. If Mike Evans does not fall on that ball, half of the people who didn't want Jameis out of town already want him gone, including Dirk Cutter. And that's how razor thin this stuff is.
That's not a bad point. It's not a bad point. You know, if a Giant falls on that ball, Landon Collins falls on that ball instead of Mike Evans. Look, the Jameis skeptics are out there in force.
Oh, yeah.
They're emboldened.
Oh, yeah. And it gives them ammo.
Gives them plenty of ammo. But it proves our point, and I think we were all in agreement on this a couple of weeks ago. The $21 million is not on the mind of Jason Light, and more importantly, not on the mind of the Glazers. If it was, Winston being inactive these weeks.
Exactly.
So that was a red herring.
Yeah.
Now, we know one thing about the Glazers. One, they have trouble picking coaches. And two, money's not always the issue with these guys. They'll pay off a coach with 2 years left. They'll do things.
How much money were they forking out for ex-coaches for
absolutely.
A couple years there?
Steve, the $21 million is not driving this train. It's not driving this train. What's driving it, I believe, is I want to see more Winston, and that's why I thought he should have been in there the previous week. And the second part of my story, and I don't think anybody can argue with it, is Fitzpatrick isn't playing well.
Oh.
If he's playing well, you got an argument to make.
Yeah.
He's not playing well. You're out of the playoffs. Of course you got to go with Winston, unless you want to go with Ryan Griffin, which means you've turned the page on Winston.
How many turnovers did Pat Mahomes have Monday night?
I believe it was three picks and maybe two fumbles.
You think Andy Reid's going to bench him?
He also threw six touchdowns. He did.
How many turnovers did Goff have?
He had, I believe, two fumbles.
And wasn't there a pick in there, too?
I don't know if there was a pick. Yeah, one fumble was a seven-point play.
You think McVay's going to bench him?
I understand what you're saying. Ball security, Steve, continues to haunt Jameis Winston. There's no question about it. He could have had two, maybe three giveaways. He could have. But Fitzpatrick is reverted to Fitzpatrick.
Oh.
And I want to see Winston down the stretch. You better not take him out, Dirk. Don't take him out if he's not hurt. Do not do it. I think that would be a big mistake. And again, I think it would be a sign of a guy who says, do what you want with me, Glazers. I'm done. I'm done. And is he done with Winston? I think you could make that argument.
Yeah.
I think he reluctantly put him back in the game.
No, I have to go back and watch. I recorded it, and of course I could always go back thanks to Steve. I've got access to Game Pass. A lot of fans made a big deal about this. I saw a screenshot, but I didn't see the video, or I probably wasn't paying attention. Apparently, one of the touchdowns Jameis had, he's walking off the field, he walks right by Cutter. They didn't even make eye contact. You know, a lot of times, you're making a comeback, the coach's like, hey, good job, or tap you on the shoulder pads, or say something. Nothing. They walk past each other like two ships in the
night. My sense is, on the meter, Cutter has given up on Winston a lot more than the Glazers have given up on Winston. That's my feeling right now.
The meter? What's the meter? Is that sponsored by anybody, Ira?
The meter.
VU meter.
Fan Retreat. It's part of Fan Retreat.
You got a guy over there at fanretreat.com.
Speaking of Fan Retreat, Steve, he's got a good thing going, Sean. No question about it.
Well, there you go. We love fanretreat.com. I'm sure we'll have, as hope returns to the fan base, we'll have some exciting stuff to do with them next year as the schedule comes out and everyone comes to life. But you can still go to fanretreat.com for all your ticket needs, travel, hotel, whatever it might be.
By the way, gentlemen, the Bucks are 3 or 4 point favorites Sunday. How about that? Whoa. How about that, people? What about that?
3.5 point favorites. 3.5 point favorites. So, Ira, on this Jameis decision, though, I think it has to be permanent. I mean, there's no sense of going back to anybody at this point. I could see maybe if you watch Jameis for the next 5 games, if they want to give Griffin the last game in a lost season, I could see that. Because with Griffin, you could always get lucky. Like, if he goes out there the last game and plays well, maybe you can get something for him. Maybe somebody will take a shot at him.
They play the Panthers the last game of the season?
They play Atlanta at home.
Okay, yeah, so a possible playoff team you could be playing against.
Maybe you get something for Fitzpatrick also. I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at it.
Well, Fitzpatrick has no contract for next year.
Yeah,
I don't
free
know.
Agent.
But, and I, not in front of me. I don't know if Griffin is under contract for next year. But if he's not, if he plays well and he signs as a free agent as a backup, that can help with your compensatory picks.
What you're saying, Steve, it's a fair bet. Last game of the season, Atlanta very well could still be playing for something.
Possible.
Doubtful.
They're fading. Doubtful. They're fading a little.
Yeah, because they only have 4 wins now.
Yeah, they're 4-6.
I thought they had a better record.
Possible if they go on a run. Ira,
by the way.
I got to throw something at you first. Before you by the way me.
Go ahead.
Anthony Beck threw out this, and we had it on JoeBucksFan.com. He seemed a bit horrified by Jameis' lack of ball security in that game. Now, he's not saying bench Jameis or Jameis is shot. He believes that Jameis can play well, but he sort of echoed what some other players have said, is like, you got to build the offense that suits Jameis. And Anthony Beck's take is Peyton Barber has been your most consistent offensive player in the last 5 weeks or so, and he's getting better. It's time to get back to more of those double tight end sets that we saw some years ago. Get more into a power play action kind of game. Doesn't mean you never throw the ball and use the weapons you have, but it's time to make that decision, Dirk.
Rest your defense a little.
Put the second, he didn't say that. He said put the second tight end game and limit the risk for Jameis going forward here. What do you think of that?
Well, it's interesting, but you also realize that the Bucs have the number one passing game in football. I think they're averaging more than the Rams and the Chiefs and the Saints.
But they can't score. But they can't score.
Well, they scored 35 points.
Yeah, against the Giants.
I understand. It's interesting. Barber's playing well. Your defense is getting shredded. They're on the field too much. You could make that argument. Now, I'm not sure this is an offense that can handle Barber getting the ball 25 times. I don't know how productive he's going to be. I don't know. We'll see. The Buck run game did play well against the Giants. There's no question about it. Lee, ball security continues to undermine Jameis Winston. This is year 4. He's not a rookie anymore.
Yeah, it's starting to get to the point where you figure that's him, unfortunately. Yeah. But to Steve's point, and I guess to a lesser degree, Beck's point, I don't have the stats in front of me about, Winston arguably had as good a season the last 4 weeks of the season, last December, which is 5 games last year, as any other quarterback in the league.
He only won one of them.
Yeah,
he only won one of them,
and he had a boatload of fumbles. The fumbles drive me crazy. Fumbles drive me crazy. I mean, picks, it happened. Fumbles drive me nuts. I'll ride Jameis about that, and I have. But by giving the ball to Barber more, if I remember correctly, against the Packers, didn't Barber break 100 yards?
He did.
And Jameis had a hell of a game. Go back to Jameis's rookie year. With all people, Lovie Smith, Iowa 63, Illinois nothing.
You're not going to mention Doug Martin, are you, on my podcast?
Just running in general.
All right.
You tried to direct me. But Bucks had a running game. Jameis played pretty well as a rookie. Should have been rookie of the year. It was him and Gurley. Jameis had a pretty good rookie year. They had a running game. There's a method to Beck's madness here. I think he's on to something.
All right.
And, of course, Beck's partial to tight ends. Let's throw that out there. If he could get three tight ends out there, he'd throw Eau Claire out there, too.
I hear you. The discussion was about Jameis, but I hear you. I thought that, too. Like, yeah, Beck just wants a tight end out there. Now, O.J. Howard, significant injury. The Bucs acknowledged that yesterday. There might be some news while we before this podcast concludes or by the time you listen to
Let's
it.
Let's hope for the best because that kid's playing good football.
Serious ankle injury, and Cutter said they were going to get a second opinion. And we'll see. But that means there's a reasonable chance he'll be out for the rest of the year. But maybe it's a four-week injury and they bring him back.
It means Brate gets more targets, too, and then Jameis trusts Brate.
More targets for Brate, and Eau Claire, they like, is just a blocking guy. So we'll see. Unfortunately, if that's the case, we love O.J. Howard, that would make two consecutive years that he ends on injured reserve. It starts to make you wonder about a guy's durability. Just puts that in the back of your head. That's just football. Ira,
can I get my by the way in?
Yeah, by the way, all day long.
You know, we talk about how defenses are terrible around the league. Terrible. And as an example, the Giants are nursing a lead, and Mike Evans gets behind by 10 yards. How do you let that happen? And, Steve, didn't that also happen maybe in the Cincinnati game or something when the Bengals had a 10 or 14-point lead, and all of a sudden Evans catches a 70-yard pass? How does that happen? Steve, it just backs up and reinforces my point. Nobody's playing defense south of Chicago. And by the way,
good point.
Good for the Bears. Good for the Bears. That is a well-coached football team. They win the turnover battle. They run the ball. And Mac's a monster, and he's lifted up everybody around him.
Where did Nagy?
Sort of like Calais Campbell did with the Jags last year.
Where did Nagy coach before Chicago?
Kansas City.
I tell you what, you know, if the Bucs, it'd be a dumb bet to suggest that Cutter's returning next year. If the Bucs change coaches, I'm getting an Andy Reid disciple.
The Bears are going to get a playoff game at home in the wild card round, and they're going to be a tough out.
Ira, you know why the Bears are playing so well? It's because they played so many one-score games last year. That's the ticket to playing good football. I'm being sarcastic.
I am too.
They had as many as the Bucs. Well, yeah, the Bears are a complete football team right now with a quarterback who sort of looked like Blake Bortles for a while, who now looks a lot better.
Their offense is imaginative. It's not plotting.
Here's something else that drives me nuts. The Bears have this Cohen. Speed, 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 speed.
Get him the ball in open space.
And look what he does. Cheetah with the Chiefs, same thing. Bucks have DeSean Jackson. What? Run down the sideline 40 yards? We might throw you a pass?
How about a little bubble screen to D-Jax?
Or a punt return?
Are you listening to me, Monk?
You know, earlier in the year, the Bucks had DeSean Jackson running the ball a little bit more. He ran for a touchdown.
He did run for a touchdown.
He can play in the slot. He's even talked about how he imagines later in his career that he'll become a slot guy because he has that shifty quickness. And if he loses half a step, he could still be an elite slot guy. I don't know. I think some of the inventiveness of the Bucs offense has worn off. Hopefully they can get back to that. Wanted to ask you this.
Hold on. I want to do a shout out. The Chiefs lost the game.
I'm an old
Chiefs fan, but I'm going to do a shout out
to Len Dawson.
To Tariq Hill. And I'll tell you why. When he came into the league, all he had was speed. Breathtaking speed, but that's all he had.
Baggage.
He has improved tremendously, as Isbitz will tell you, because he dropped 35 points on me last night in the fantasy league.
Wasn't
enough to overtake Kaufman's team. but Hill has developed into a heck of a receiver.
Yeah.
His hands are good. His routes are good. He's a guy, Steve, as an example of a young player who they have developed. The Bucs haven't done a very good job of that, especially on defense.
Oh.
Develop a young player. Hill's come really a long, long way.
When's the last time the Bucs developed a player on defense? Quan?
I don't know. I don't think Quan was having a very good season. Maybe I'm a voice in the wilderness here. Steve, was Quan playing well, particularly this year?
His last game was his best game, but he didn't have a good start.
No, he didn't have a great season.
He's a good player. He's got some deficiencies, but he's...
You going to show him the money?
I don't know who's going to be running this team. Ira, 41 days, we're looking at an overhaul of probably...
Donovan Smith's got his hand out.
He's got the countdown going.
He's got the countdown
Should we
going.
Mention what Dave Moore said on the Buccaneers Radio Network?
Why not?
You know, he's collecting a check from the Bucs, mind you. And
he's usually very circumspect Very, very careful about what he says.
When will we ever hear that on a football podcast? You know, circumcision, maybe, but circumspect. I was listening Sunday morning. Obviously, I know Steve's up in Jersey, and Steve always listens to the pregame show. You know, Lights on there as well. He, as far as I'm concerned, he had nothing to say
nothing
this week. But Dave Moore, I heard in passing, I'm like, holy smokes. Dave Moore was talking about Donovan Smith, and I'm paraphrasing now. I don't have the quote in front of me. But he said, you know, he's a talented player when he wants to be. And he said there are times where he looks like he can't wait for the Bucks to punt the ball so he can get off the field and drink water.
Wow.
I was like, whoa.
Now, I thought he had a good game Sunday.
He did.
I watched Donovan Smith.
He did, but
he
I mean, for a Bucks broadcast.
That is very candid.
The three of us here, we don't expect, you know, reasonably expect any team employee to be harshly critical of a player. So when that does happen, that, wow, I mean, that's eye-opener.
You know what? That's a step further. When you hear from Buck coaches, what do you get? He needs more consistency. That's what you get.
Yeah, that's the code word. That's the code word. Consistency, he's up and down. It's not always effort, but in Donovan Smith's case, it is. Lee's morning after column, if you missed the story, it's in there, the quotes from Dave Moore. You can look at that. Peyton Barber, I'm not going to dive into it, Ira, since we're going to...
Do you guys ever miss a broadcast of anything between the two of you?
No, you know what? I was at the game. I was listening to Light on his pregame show, and I didn't write this up yet, Ira, but the guy's talking at Light's going on and on about Cairo Santos, the kicker. That was their target guy. That was their target.
But he was hurt.
It's the guy they wanted, but last year he just wasn't physically ready for them to sign him, and this is the guy. They got their guy. So I'm listening to this saying, you know what, Light, you, as a fan, you SOB, just thinking that way. I'm like, why didn't you sign him 3 weeks ago then and have some nerve and have put two kickers on the roster and pay him while you compete since he was your guy you wanted all along? It's like
Catanzaro was replaced 3 or 4 weeks too late, Lee.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Too late. Yeah.
And that Light's yelling about this is the guy we wanted. Well, what were you doing? He was there 3 weeks ago. Drove me
nuts. You got any juice from your trip? What do you got for me?
I don't got a ton of juice, Ira, but I do have this. And first, while I pull this out of my wallet.
Are you looking at this wallet?
Oh, yeah. He's got receipts from 2011.
It's a Costanza wallet. It's a Costanza wallet. All right, Ira. First, let me remind everybody the podcast is available at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. These are places to subscribe to the podcast so you get a free alert. So you know when the Sage appears in your phone, you're ready to go. And most of them, you can leave a comment, too, if you'd like. Sing the praises of the Sage. He loves all that.
By the way, I bounced back nicely on the Tailgate Sunday show. I was 0 for 5 the week before. Very difficult to do when you're not even picking games against the spread. Bounced back with a nice 4-1. Picked against my Chiefs Monday night. Won that one. So take that, Ricky Reynolds.
You and I got to, for next year, you and I got to start some kind of competition. I forgot to do my NFL picks this week. I was so worried about JoeBucksFan.com on Sunday morning. But I'm on a roll with college.
Nice.
I haven't lost one in 2 weeks. I'm 6-0.
And we all picked the Giants last week, so we'll talk about that on our next podcast.
Yeah, Javier just sent the news through. I'm 7-3. You're 6-4. Lee's 5-5. So there's time to catch up.
So you've reversed the Bucks record. You're 7-3.
I've reversed the Bucks record. And, yes, you did beat me in fantasy football this week. I'm in stunned disbelief.
I'm starting to score points. I got a healthy roster over here. Well, thank you, Leonard Fournette. Where the hell you been all year?
It turned around for you. I thought I was thinking, well, you know what? I need 7 touchdowns from
That's
Tyreek
right.
Hill.
You,
I almost got
you
it.
Might get it.
Almost got it, but it didn't happen, Ira. But you know what? I did go to the sports book, and I think this is going to possibly influence your weight, your pick next week. So – it might upset the apple cart here for our picks, our one-loss picks
with
the Bucks.
How is the sports book? Is it nicely laid out?
Not really. You know, it's
Or chaotic?
Well, I popped in early in the morning, and it was total chaos. They opened at 8 a.m. It was total chaos.
Really?
I didn't stay at all. And I went after...
I mean, people were betting the Giants-Bucks game or just any.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The crowd was riveted, I think, late in that game because the Giants were a 2.5-point favorite.
Wow. Wow.
So, and I'm sure endless people there had the Giants.
Or they had the over. They covered on the over.
I don't know. It was chaos in the morning, but after the game in the evening, you know, it, pretty much in New Jersey, you can bet on the app. So if you just download the FanDuel app, you don't have to go to the sports book. You just do it all at home on your phone.
Tell me you didn't go to the sports book after the game. Tell me.
Yeah, that's when I went after the game.
Wait a minute. You're supposed to put out my column. What are you doing? The column waited until 11 o'clock at night. I got Javier screaming at me.
Go call DeSantos.
He's over there putting a bet down.
You got to blame DeSantos.
Oh, my goodness.
If there was gambling here, he wouldn't be in such a need to go back to the sports book.
I don't understand how you can even admit what you just
did. You know how late you sent me the column?
Oh.
Didn't I send it to you? I sent it to you at 7:30.
The game was over at 4.
Lee, are you listening to this?
Yeah, you went out and had some Chardonnay with your
wife. The man's putting money down on next week's Texas Tech game.
That's why you were so fired up with the column. You had a couple of Chardonnays in you.
That's 30 minutes of takeaway. How were you?
Your column, you were fired up.
I got to wait
column.
For the stats. I've got to see what Cutter has to say. So I got to see what Jenna Lane's got to say. You know, it all factors in.
But it was funny. The guy's very friendly. Guys are the workers there at the sports book, very friendly. It was like a restaurant. They had the big sign up, our featured wager of the day, you know, first score in the which team scores first in the
Sunday night
game.
Did you watch some of the Sunday night
games? So I get to the window, and the guy asked me, he's like, oh, you know, let me tell you about our featured wager. Well, I'm like, do I look like a degenerate? I'm not betting on who scores first. He's like, oh, no.
Make any money? Did you make any money this weekend?
I did. And anyway, what I did was, though, Ira, Lee had bought me a ticket for the Rays when he was in Vegas, which won. It was the season bet, over 74,
over. Nice,
right?
Lee.
So what I've done here, because I know Lee is so down on the Bucks and he's so focused on he wants a draft pick. He wants a good draft pick, which a lot of fans do. I have bought Lee a ticket, $40, for the Bucks to win, -3.5 on Sunday. So here you go, Lee.
Oh, thank you,
and
sir.
So now Lee
can... So he's got a vested interest in the Bucks winning the game or losing the
game?
No,
in winning. He's got the Bucks given 3.5.
FanDuel.
There you go.
And Sage, I got you one for $10. So now you got your Bucks tickets.
What's mine? Over on the Reeflink? What do you got?
No, you got the Bucks. The Bucks -3.5, and I've actually...
He's got 40, and I got 10.
And
a
I've got the Bucks as well for this weekend with my winnings.
Could affect our picks on Thursday's podcast.
Yeah, so... Well, so that's why I said full
disclosure. You can't buy off the Kemper for $40. Can't do it.
Here's what I do with my picks. I won't say the name of the website because they're not sponsoring us. But, you know, like Steve and I always say, you know, we can... put our feelings aside when we judge a player, when we critique a player. We may like the guy, but that doesn't mean, you know, he's a guy and then there's the football player. Well, I do the same thing with my picks. I put my picks in, obviously, before the game, and once I hit enter, that's it. It's like I put it out of my mind.
Nice.
It's like done. You know, there have been times where I'm watching a game on TV where I'm rooting for Team X, but I bet on Team Z. I just click, and once I hit enter, that's it. It's done. Doors closed.
I'm a Chiefs fan, but I didn't need Tariq Hill getting up 35 points last night and getting Isbitz excited.
So talk about ethics, Ira, and then we'll get back to the Bucks here. Talk about ethics. I bet a futures wager. I believe it was 5-1. I got to double check, but it's roughly 5-1. You're gonna love this. I bet on Khalil Mack to be the AP, and they say right there, AP Defensive Player of the Year.
I'm a voter. So you trying to influence me?
So I'm influencing your vote here. You got to go Khalil
Mack. Your employer has money on this.
I just watched Aaron Donald last night. I just want to tell you guys.
Game record.
And he did the strip and sack, and that was a 7-point.
Hey, Max.
Max, tremendous player.
Well, let's put it this way. What were the Bears without Mac? What were the Rams last year with Donald?
Right now, I'm obviously leaning towards Mac.
So you're giving.
How do you like that?
Donald was the overwhelming favorite. You're giving money on
Donald.
Donald
was probably even money, right?
Less.
Well, less.
Just to save you, no, there's no implications here about your vote.
J.J. Watt's having a hell of a year, too.
I'm just having fun with you. I did not take the 4,500-1 on Jameis Winston winning MVP.
Wow.
4,500.
For this season.
4,500.
Is Mahomes the favorite or Drew Brees coming on?
I don't remember.
That'd almost be worth putting. Wow. Well, still, I was thinking like a dollar on that.
All right, how are we going to wrap this up, Steve?
All right, Sage, look, let's get back to the business of the Buccaneers here. The serious stuff is really the number one thing all fans are asking. Any vibe, new head coach, new general manager, that's what everyone's talking about. Who's the next head coach? That's only going to continue to heat up. You got any feelers, Iris, some vibes? What's going on?
The race is on. The search is on. Lee, you know, we know that about the Glazers. They don't wait. And if they hadn't started the search before now, you know, I think it behooves them to start it now. Dirk Cutter's 3-7. I got a little nugget for you, Lee.
Uh-oh.
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
Since the Bucks were 8-5 that season with the 5-game winning streak and in charge of their playoff destiny, then they went to Dallas, then they went to New Orleans and lost, and then they won. Anyway, since that 8-5 mark, I've been doing the math, and I was good at math, Lee. They've played 29 games. It was the last three, 16 and 10. 29 games. You know how many they've lost?
Yeah, 20.
20. 20 out of 29.
Well, I got one
setback.
I got one for
That doesn't bode well for Cutter's future. And I guess you're not asking whether Cutter's going to come back.
No, I'm asking you.
You're asking me who's going to replace.
What's going on here?
Well, I was going to ask you, Mr. Math Major, what kind of winning percentage is that?
Well, that's 9 and 20. So,
yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not that easy.
I obviously doesn't read JoeBucksFan.com. We've been writing about this for
probably,
weeks.
Probably, you know, 32% or something.
You're right. That will get you run out of any league.
I just came up with 32 out of my butt.
It's 31.
Out of
it's
my 31. Sphincter. I came up with 31. All right, I got it
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Damn look, decimal point goofed you up.
You know, look, you're not going to want to hear it. Keep your eye on Arians. Keep your eye on them. I think it's a way for Light to survive. If there's any way for Light to survive, it's Bruce Arians.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Well, you made another good point.
And I still think the most solid pick would be John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh. Unless they make the playoffs and they stick with him, he's on thin ice. And so is McCarthy. And there's nothing wrong with McCarthy. I like Harbaugh. I think he's a solid pick.
But you know what?
And he knows defense also. They always have a good defense.
I'm almost willing to take a gamble and go get Eric
Mike Leach? You don't want Mike
Leach. Well, that would be very interesting. That would be a Glazer pick. You know, that would be a splash. That's up their alley. But I would say Eric Bieniemy. Every freaking coach that's got success in this league has got an Andy Reid connection. Yeah, I know Cutter does too, but that was back at, you know, 30 years ago.
Would you get an offensive coach or a defensive coach?
If you got
Jameis,
yeah.
What do you do? What do you do? This team's crying out for defense.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think there should be such a thing as an offensive or a defensive coach. You need a guy who knows how to coach a whole football team. We had Lovie, the defensive coach, with a brutal defense. Cutter's offense can't score points.
The key is who's going to put a hell of a staff together. Hell of a staff together.
Yeah, if you're going to keep Jameis, that means you're invested in Jameis. Go out there and get a creative mind that might be able to, as Steve said earlier in this very podcast, craft an offense around him.
It's possible that his ball security issues are never going to go away, Steve.
I don't know. Just to finish that, I obviously I know that Bucks scored 35 points. My point was that they're struggling to finish, and Cutter is so hands-off the defense that it's obviously gotten completely away from him.
Yeah.
I think you just need a coach with the right plan. And, you know, the offensive side of this is going to be very tricky for the Glazers, because if they finish well offensively, well, that's a hard thing to want to, as an ownership, to break apart.
The Glazers are very excited about this offense. Very excited.
Well,
why shouldn't they be?
I can think of three of Andy Reid's
when
disciples.
When they're not shooting themselves in the foot, they're darn near unstoppable.
I can think of three Andy Reid disciples that
if
they're not,
you love yourself a little Andy Reid over there.
Well,
Andy Reid.
Well, one guy has a ring, and the other two guys are going to be in the playoffs. I hope so. One's the Colts coach, Frank Reich, and the other guy's Nagy up in Chicago, who we just talked about how great of a job he's done. So, you know what? Go back to that well. Forget the Belichick tree. Every one of those guys, with the possible exception.
You want to pick on the Reed tree. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's bearing the best fruit.
Steve, we'll be talking about this for the next, you know, 2 months.
Maybe not, Ira. It's much closer than you think. That's what I'm saying. I mean, we are
41 days.
We're literally 41 days from possibly hiring a new head coach.
I mean, here you got Thanksgiving. Round the corner is Christmas and Hanukkah and whatnot.
And you can't.
And New Year's, next thing you know, here comes a new coach.
And you can't waste time. That's the thing. You got at least six teams are going to want a head coach. Everybody's jockeying here.
Right.
And, you know, Arians Light, that connection. Okay, well, that means you got to talk to Arians before the season is over.
Well, Ira made a great point. The Bucks started their coaching search, during Play Shiano long before the season was over. I actually heard rumors it was October when they started. Mm-hmm. And then Steve's heard November. I actually heard October.
Well, that season was even more messed up than this one. That had Mercer and everything. And
yeah,
Freeman.
But this is getting
it
close.
Was even more messed up.
0-8.
0-8. Yeah, 0-8.
Well, but the thing is, and a lot of people think, well, Cutter's there. Get rid of him so you can start the search. Well, you could start the search no matter who's in place. That doesn't preclude you from starting and doing your homework. A doesn't mean B here. For all we know, they already started it.
I say get a new sounding board. Dump Belichick as a sounding board. He hasn't panned out for you.
Hey, Dungy referred them Chip Kelly, so maybe that's no good.
And Mariota. Who's hurt again?
All right, Ira. You will be seen all over town, of course, your Tampa 2 show later this week.
Yeah, I'm going right from here to see Brooks.
We'll be popping new episodes Wednesday or Thursday and Friday, depending on how they...
Did Mr. Brooks use the word embarrassing last week, Steve? That's a strong word for him. Strong.
Yeah. Yeah, it was either embarrassed or embarrassing. I think it was embarrassing. What was he talking about again? He was talking about the... I don't even remember.
It might have been red zone.
Doesn't
defense,
really matter.
Tackling. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It is embarrassing at this point, and we'll talk more about this 49ers game coming in. And I got to give Cutter a little props for keeping a sense of humor, Ira, when he said yesterday at the podium that, hey, the 49ers have one less takeaway than we do, which I didn't think was possible.
Yeah, that was funny.
So that's probably the Bucs' best hope here is to maybe win a turnover battle, but who knows?
I got a stat for you, Ira. Derek Brooks had 2 picks through 10 games in 2002. Bucks have 1 pick through 10 games.
Closing thoughts, Ira?
Closing thoughts are this is the time of year, unfortunately, when even good Buck fans, and I mean faithful Buck fans, start rooting for them to lose.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible situation. Here we are. We're not even at Thanksgiving yet, and the dog thinking about and in these particular games against the Giants, and now the Niners, these are teams that are going to be at the top of the NFL draft chart. And half your fan base Sunday at a home game are going to be rooting for the Niners to win so the Bucs can springboard ahead of them somehow. Mm. I mean, terrible situation, Steve. Are you listening, Glazers? Terrible.